truly speaks of receiving Christ. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, in that verse of scripture that I just read, John 1:12, the scripture does speak of receiving Christ. But that verse absolutely has nothing to do with man's free will to act according to the dictates of a dead heart, as far as what the world describes as receiving Christ. The word "receive" in this verse of scripture, "but as many as received him," the word is explained in the latter part of that verse, that is, "to them that believe on his name." So those that believe on his name, those that believe on the character, those that believe the report of Almighty God, have received him. That is, it's evident that the Lord has given them life. He gave power, the scripture says, to become the sons of God. If a man receives Christ, that means he believes him. And it is evident that Almighty God has given him a heart to believe, to receive. He didn't earn it, didn't merit it. It was a gift of God. Now this evening, in Acts 2:41 and 42, that scripture gives the heart and the evidence of one that has truly received or believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would like to ask myself, and I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, have I truly received his word? Have I? Has the Lord Jesus Christ called me out of darkness? Do I know him? And can I know it? Is there any evidence whatsoever given from the scriptures concerning those that truly have received Christ? Everybody talks about this. Well, I received the Lord Jesus. What does the Word of God have to say about receiving or believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's the first thing I know. And I'll ask this in a form of a question. What is my attitude toward the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is my attitude toward the gospel of sovereign grace? Now, the reason I have to clarify that, you know, you would think that you wouldn't have to. But there's another gospel that's being preached. There's another God, what Paul says, which is not another, but there would be some that would set it forth as such. It's a false message. What is my attitude? Now, I want you to look at verse 41. Now, here's the acid test. This is God's Word concerning those that know him. Verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word." That is the gospel, the word of the living God. Those that gladly, there's the key word right there, gladly. The word gladly there is cheerfully, joyfully. They embraced it, they welcomed it. Now obviously, that's the evidence that Almighty God has given power to receive Christ. You that have received Christ, have believed Christ. But let me ask you something. That word right there, gladly. For every truth that is set forth in God's Word, Satan has a deception. There is a deception. And here is the deception. Here is the deceptive joy. Hold your finger right there in Acts 2 and turn back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13:20-21. Now the Scripture sets forth in John in Acts 2, then they that gladly received His Word. Now here is a deceptive joy. Matthew 13:20-21. But he that received, now there's that word, he that received the seed, that is the seed of God's Word, into stony places, the same is he that heareth the Word, and anon, that word anon there means quickly, quickly, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Word, by and by he is offended. Now this is what the Scripture's got to say about one that receives. They take in. They hear it. It's an intriguing message. When you hear the Gospel the first time, it is an intriguing message. It's different. It's a message that is completely opposite from anything that you'd ever heard before. It is as common as dirt to hear a message that gives man all the honor. Now, man comes forth believing that. He believes that he's somebody. He believes that he's able. He's capable. But the gospel of free grace is a message that goes completely contrary to that. The first time I ever heard, I've told you this before, but the first time I ever heard the gospel, I ever heard it mentioned. Now, I'm not saying to hear it in power. I'm just saying the first time I ever heard it. There was a man that came down from northern Louisiana. Remember that, Mama? R.F. Gates. A man came down and he preached. And I heard that for the first time. And it was intriguing to me. And the first thing it did, because so many rebelled against it, I was proud of myself. There was joy in that I wasn't fighting against this. Now, I told you the first time I heard it in power, the Lord was pleased to bless it through Brother Henry Mahan. That's when I heard it truthfully. But the first time it ever crossed my path, I was taken up with that. And I thought, you know what? You folks don't believe this. I do. You don't. I do. And I'm telling you, it was just nothing but pride and arrogance. And I was happy. But the next thing I know, there was so much dispute, and it was the easiest thing in the world. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. But I can truthfully say with joy, prideful joy, but joy, they hear that, and when tribulation, persecution ariseth because of the Word, by and by, he's offended. He leaves. And the reason he leaves is because there was never a heart there. There was no glad reception from the heart. So here's the truth. The Scripture speaks of two different receptions. One of them in Acts 2, verse 40, says they that gladly received His Word. And Matthew 13 says that there was a reception quickly with joy, but because there was no root, when persecution came, they withered. Now let me ask you this. How do you know the difference? Well, what does the Scripture have to say? Let's look at verse 41 again back in Acts 2. Then they that gladly received His word, here's the first thing. They're obedient people. They were baptized. Now I know assuredly, and you that know Him know assuredly, that water baptism does not wash away sin. Water does not wash away sin. I want you to turn to 1 Peter 3 and look at the amazing passage of Scripture. 1 Peter 3, verse 18 to 21. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also has suffered, hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And then the apostle puts in, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter said this. This preaching that the Lord Jesus Christ did in the days of Noah, before Abraham, when Noah was here. And the Scripture says that God looked and saw that the imagination of every man was evil continually. And the Scripture sets forth in verse 19, by which He went and preached. Who did He preach to? Well, He preached to the spirits that are now in hell. Those that are now in hell. The Lord Himself preached to them. When? In the days of Noah. Through Noah, the Lord Jesus Christ preached it. We stand before you this evening in Christ's stead, Paul said. We beseech you, be you reconciled to God. These are not the words of a man. This is God's Word, God's Gospel, God's truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, went and preached unto the spirits that are now in prison. Not that He went to hell, as I've heard people say, that He went actually into hell. Have you ever heard that? That He actually went, they say, into hell. No. He went and preached unto the spirits that are now in hell, which sometime were disobedient. What they were when? When they were alive, walking on this earth. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The Lord gave Noah the instruction to build an ark. And Noah built an ark and was saved from the flood. God Almighty prepared that ark through Noah and saved Noah. A picture of Christ. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not, Peter says, that baptism is our salvation. But baptism is actually the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is the outward confession of our faith in the One who alone has put away our guilt. Remember this, water does not save us. The One who died, the One with whom we were buried, the One with whom we were raised, He is our Savior. God's people believe the gospel of free grace. and they gladly receive the word of electing, redeeming, quickening, and sustaining grace, sovereign grace. And they confess that in baptism. Beware of the temptation if you believe that the Lord has saved you. Beware of the temptation to think lightly of being baptized. If you believe that Almighty God has saved you by His grace, beware of thinking lightly. Mr. Spurgeon said this. I want to read this quote. He said, "I do not question the safety of the soul that has believed. But I do say again, I would not run the risk of the man who, having believed, refuses to be baptized." The refusal of a believer. I do not go around trying to encourage people that has made no outward confession of their faith verbally to say, "I believe the Lord saved me." I don't try to get people in the water. The refusal of a believer, though, to be baptized, Mr. Spurgeon said, is to rob God of His glory because of disobedience. This is His ordinance. He ordained it. Baptism. They that gladly received His word didn't leave because of the persecution of the word. No, they were baptized. They confessed the Lord in baptism. Here's the next evidence. The Scripture says back in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now listen to verse 42. "And they continued," now here's another word, "steadfastly." Now the word that we focused on in that verse 41 was the word gladly, heartily. Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Now, you know, there's a sense in which you can just sit under the sound of the gospel all your life and just be there, hearing it. But the Scripture sets forth the evidence of those that gladly received His word is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in heart in the truth of the gospel. They adhered and persevered in the inspired record of Holy Scripture. And they didn't, by the grace of God, apostatize. They didn't leave or forsake the hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus asked His apostles, when many that heard His saying, they said, "That's a hard saying." I understand. I've told you before. I do understand. Men that hear the gospel of free grace and hear of distinguishing grace. I understand man by nature resisting that message. I'm telling you, it goes completely against the flesh. It's going to take a new heart to love it, to bow to it, to thank God for it. Can you imagine the book of Revelation? It says, "In that day when Almighty God cast all rebellion in hell, that the saints will cry, Hallelujah. Hallelujah." I had someone ask me the other day, they said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "This is what Almighty God says. And I can tell you one thing's for sure. In that day, by the grace of God, God's people will cry, Hallelujah, as God Almighty casts all rebellion into hell." He's saying, "Are you saying that those that you know, your loved ones, I'm saying that God Almighty says that in the day, and I cannot enter into the depth of this and tell you everything that I know is going to be revealed, but I'm telling you in that day, they're going to cry hallelujah when the Lord throws all rebellion. They said, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it? And the Lord asked His disciples, will you go away also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the words of life eternal. Where are we going? Where is there to go? Save Him. Are you going back to free willism? Where are you going to go? Lord, you've got the words of eternal life. No man that has forsaken the hearing of the gospel, no man that has forsaken it, left it, has any reason to expect that he knows God in mercy. You know that's true. They continued steadfastly. They didn't leave. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Have I received His word gladly? Has God kept me to this date to remain steadfast in the doctrine of Christ? Here's the third thing. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship. Partnership. They weren't hermits. They stayed and met together to hear. Fellowship expresses the interest that the body of Christ has for His glory by the effectual calling of God's Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 1:9. This is an amazing passage. How did you come to have fellowship with God's people? Now, we meet together on Sundays, on Wednesdays, and we come together, if not continually during the week, but we come together, you get two believers, and I'm telling you, this is going to be, give it a minute if you have to, but this is going to be the conversation. It's going to come to Christ. Why? Because they're of kindred spirits, of fellowship. How did you get there? How did you enter in? How is it that we have fellowship, partnership, communion? How is it? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord God of heaven has called His people, number one, into fellowship with His Son, into fellowship with Christ, knit together with Him, walking together with Him. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? The Lord has given His people a heart that agrees with Christ, that agrees with God's report of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in fellowship together. What He says, we believe. God's people are not in disagreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. They read God's Word. Now, I'll be the first to admit, there's a lot of things that I cannot enter into the depth of. But I believe it. I believe the truth concerning His Word. I believe His Word. We have fellowship one with the other. And Lord, as You say, it is. As You say, I am, I am. Lord, I am a worm. Lord, You're the Lord of heaven. Lord, I am incapable. You're all sufficient. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord, our God, and we're in fellowship, believers, in fellowship with each other. I'm going to tell you this. I believe the same thing, Carl, you do. I have the same joy that you do. I have the same hatred for indwelling sin that another believer has. I have the same confidence of salvation totally by grace, by Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. Fellowship. God's people are knit together. Here's the next evidence of those that have gladly, back in Acts 2, gladly received His Word. They continued steadfastly, in breaking of bread. Now, the sense of that breaking of bread may insinuate that they enjoy each other's company privately. I can see in the wording and the interpretation of that it absolutely can mean that. Believers enjoy other believers' company. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to put on airs with a believer. You can relax around them. You don't feel as though that they're scrutinizing every word you say and trying to pin you in a corner. You can relax around them. But especially, that portion of Scripture right there means the obvious. That they were faithfully partaking of the Lord's Supper together. This is an ordinance that has been left us by our Lord. And it's for the remembrance of His death, the giving of Himself. We're Lord willing, we're just getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And this is in the wisdom of Almighty God, a bronze statue was not left. Here's the ordinance that He left for the remembrance of His burial, death and burial. It was the breaking of bread and drinking of a cup of wine. "This do. This is my body. This is my blood. This do in remembrance of me." God's people steadfastly in heart, they come together in the breaking of bread. This fellowship that we enjoy right here, it is a joy to remember our precious Savior together. And then lastly, they continued steadfastly in prayers. That was the last part of verse 32, of 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Mindful to pray for one another. That's what the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, pray for me. Call my name as God causes you to remember me. Pray for us. Pray without ceasing." Again, that is an amazing passage of Scripture to me. I do realize that we go through this life and we have things. You've got your work. Those of you that have jobs where you're having to be around people, I'm shielded from much that you have to endure. I know. I'm here in this study by myself. But then, for those of you that are in the workplace, and you have to put up with the stress, you know, there's times that the Lord brings to your memory things concerning His grace. "I'm not going to leave you. My grace is sufficient." There's times that the Lord, the Spirit of God, brings to your mind things that you pray about and you're never really aware of what you're doing until you're in the midst of it. The Lord's caused you to think upon Him. Everything that you do, everything a believer does, revolves around Him, His honor. Whatever comes up, I'm telling you what will come to a believer's mind. How is this concerning my Lord? How is this concerning His honor? How is this going to affect my relationship to others and my witness to others? Pray without ceasing. The essence of prayer lies in the heart, drawing near to God. It's the evidence of the Spirit of God upon that new heart. It's good to retire to the closet of prayer often. I would, for myself, I just like to schedule. I don't want it to become vain repetition. But it's good for me to set a time to where this is where I want, I desire, I would long to have my day begin and end. Lord, for those that You've given a heart to gladly receive Your Word, Lord, cause us to enter in to the truth of the evidence that You've given of those that know You. Lord, teach us. Help us. Cause us to muse upon these things for Christ's sake.